The Holy Gospel according to John, the 11th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill, so the sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in this place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews are just now trying to stone you, and you are going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble, because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble, because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." And Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "You know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench, because he's been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O cries.
And we invite wide and deep, there was a flowing fountain wide and deep. Kind of mixed it up. That's kind of fun too. So next time, Rob, next time, maybe next week. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So one of the things that happens for us as pastors is we get to listen to a sermon more than once every week. And Pastor Lita and I joke about it sometimes, especially at that second service on Sunday morning, when we are kind of going together, that we start writing brainstorms down. Sometimes we can kind of get next week's sermon going a little bit. If we already know the text and we already know what we're speaking on, our minds start going and connecting. And you know, I think it was even more appropriate for me to do it when the title of this week's sermon was The Struggle of the Faithful, Part 2. When I'm listening to her talk about Part 1. So I was writing some stuff down, and she said of the gospel story, this story doesn't focus on the healing itself, but the interrogation of the blind man afterwards. And I wrote that line down as we talked about the blind man because I knew that that was a link, that was a thread that linked together these two sermons. It was a common thread because of this. So often the story of the people of God isn't about what God is up to, but much more what we see, feel, and do in response to what God is up to. Isn't that true? In this manner, this story today, and many, pretty much every story that we have of God in our lives is often not about what God has done, but very quickly about how we interpret it, how we experience it, how we see it, how we feel it. So if you were here last week, Pastor Lita shared the gospel story that centered around the Pharisees responding to Jesus healing a blind man, blind from birth. The Pharisees, they were freaking out. Now, you'd think they were freaking out because Jesus was so amazing and such an amazing thing that a blind man was healed. But, of course, that wasn't why they were freaking out. They were freaking out because Jesus didn't do the God thing the way they thought it should happen. You see, they were the struggling faithful in the story that were experiencing something that didn't hit their view of how their religion works. And before we chastise the Pharisees, I think it happens to us over and over again. And in fact, I would lift up that I believe the book of John, the latest of the Gospels written, probably was starting to really experience this, to realize that each and every one of the people of the church were having those Pharisaic tendencies. So last week's gospel, it was almost funny as they argued with the blind man about the proper way to be healed. But this week's story takes a darker turn, doesn't it? It takes a darker turn into the struggle of faith that we all have when we believe in God deeply and something deeply goes wrong. Something that affects our personal story or someone we love so closely. And so we can relate to Mary and to Martha as the faithful who are hurt because their brother is dying, because they know that Jesus loves them and they love Jesus. But when Jesus and God don't fix this the way they had hoped, well, you get the struggle of the faithful, don't you? They are once again feeling like this whole God thing is not going the way they expected it would. Mary's words are poignant. Mary and Martha's words. I want you to think again how poignant these words are, especially when you imagine how many other people you've heard say these. Maybe you can picture that person that says, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Lord, if you'd been here, this wouldn't have happened. Because we have all experienced something similar. Maybe it's a friend, a loved one, maybe even ourselves in that dark place, wondering, why, God? Why? Why can't he be healthy? Why is this happening? She doesn't deserve this. Why? It's in those moments where everything in me personally says, I want to get out of that pain, and I want to deliver the message of hope that I know in Jesus Christ, to share that this God that I know brings hope, love, light, peace. But I have also become aware that perhaps in our journey, immediately leaving that pain is not what God is calling us to. I've become more and more aware that it is at these points in our lives where we have an opportunity to experience God in a new place. From this depths, when we cry to God, we experience a richness of God that can bring us to a new place, a new understanding. And no, I never would ever want to wish that upon anyone, those dark places. And no, I don't think God brings the dark places. But I do think that in the midst of them, God is there helping us to see a new way, a new understanding, something more than we had before. You see, as Pastor Lita put it, again, wrote these things down, our goal is to live, tell, and articulate well our experience of God and of one another. Really, that's kind of the job of the church, isn't it? But when our experience doesn't fit our views of God in this world, it is so easy to get discouraged, to wonder. But if we can let the Spirit transform our views to something new, the journey isn't always easy, but this can be rewarding, that in the depths that we cry, we see God in a new way, in a fuller way than we had before. See, the word that comes to my mind for this story, more than any one story, is the one when Jesus looks at Lazarus and says, unbind him. It's the word unbound. Because I wonder if that image caught the early church. And I wonder if this story of Lazarus was not, again, just about Lazarus, but the people of God knowing that it was all of them that needed to be unbound. Unbound from having the expectation that God would do it the way we expect. Unbound from a faith that had all the answers. Unbound. I don't think this story is really about Lazarus, as last week's story was scarcely about the blind man. I mean, think about it. Lazarus is dead in the story. It's not really about the dead man. No, this story is about a people of God, Mary, Martha, and you, who consistently are discovering that God is working beyond our understanding. I told you I had those things written down at the end of the sermon last week. I whispered to Pastor Lita, I said, thanks. I think I got my sermon done. And then I got out of church after the 11 o'clock service. And Pastor Lita goes, did you hear what happened at the Islamic Center? And I was devastated to hear that the Islamic Center had been vandalized pretty seriously, surface side, but atrociously. Broken windows, a brick thrown so hard in that it scattered glass about 40 feet into the building, covering a beautiful prayer carpet, a carpet since they pray on the carpet that you couldn't just sweep away. I found myself wondering, where was God in this action? I was echoing Mary's words right then. Lord, if you were here, this wouldn't have happened. And I should have been simply thinking about those poor people. But I had all these other thoughts too. I needed to be unbound. I had this first very selfish thought, well, sermon's not done. But I also had the thoughts of, it has been a long morning. I'm tired. I had my afternoon mapped out. I was going to get to the gym today. Excuses. I didn't want to deal with the pain. I wanted to ignore it. I wanted to run away from it. But I needed to go. And so I sent out a word through social media. I apologize for those who didn't receive it. But I said, anybody else who wants to join us? And about 15 of you did show up at the Islamic Center, 15 of the 500 people that showed up that afternoon. I grabbed my sign from my house that seemed like a good way that I could show my support. I knew that what I needed to do right now was be the people of God standing with these Islamic brothers and sisters and telling them they were loved. And as the gospel shows us, though, the struggle for us is that we want to have an answer and know what to do, as I did. And sometimes, okay, oftentimes, our call is just to show up and trust that God will be at work, that God will work in, with, and through us. Show up. So I showed up. I got over that selfishness, that passive thing that said, don't show up because you can kind of just forget about this. And I went. And went with those 500 people, and Pastor Lita was there, and Sophia was there, and myself. And I got to tell you, there was some interesting dynamics going on at first. I heard answers for what had happened. Blame. Why didn't the police arrive earlier than they did? This is all Trump's fault. Others were no doubt more like me, just caught up in the brokenness with a lack of certainty in how to respond, but a sense that being together was right and was good. And I saw tears as more and more people came from the eyes of the Islamic leaders that were there. See, we all knew at that point that regardless of what happened next, vandalism that had occurred early on that morning was not going to get the last word. But what I saw unfold was something even more beautiful. Out of the depths of that pain that we were in, I saw police officers and Muslims and Protestants and Jews and Buddhists and politicians, Democrats and Republicans coming together, holding hands, and realizing that something bigger than our own perspectives was here. See, we were drawn together through our pain. Our pain had brought us together, had helped us to find our common ground that day, and we were transformed through love, and it was a bigger love than we knew alone. We were unbound. It was a bigger view of God at work in our world. But it wasn't done for me personally in my story, because I had my sign that I was proud to hold, that was going to share this message of hope. It said, in three different languages, including Arabic, that no matter where you are from, we are glad you are our neighbor. At one point, I was holding that sign, but I also wanted to get a picture, and I couldn't get my phone holding that sign quite right. A Muslim man was next to me, and he said, I'll take your sign. And he held it above his head, and I saw this big smile on his face, and he held the sign up. And as I had my hands free again, I looked at him proudly holding that sign. And I had a realization that that day, his sign was meant for his hands. My sign was meant for his hands. There was a moment I realized the sign that I thought I was to share a welcome to him with was a welcome to me. And as he held it, I was not the one with the power of welcome. He was. I was being blessed. Blessed by God from this Muslim man who had just experienced this terrible pain. He said to me, with that sign, not in words, but in that smile, you know, you might not be Arabic. You might not be Muslim. But I'm glad that you are my neighbor. And the tables were turned. Unbound. I understood today's lesson anew, that as the people of God will constantly be surprised, God will unbind us. God will use the world in all its diversity, in all its brokenness, in all its crazy, chaotic messiness to let us know that God is working here. And the moment that we think we got it down, the moment that we have that Pharisaic moment saying, I can do it now, God will use you and help you see that you need to be unbound from that too. My prayer for you today is that when you hear that moment, when you see that moment where you know you are called to show up, where another voice is saying, I can escape this pain. I can live somewhere away from this. It'd be easier to walk away. I hope you show up, because I believe that God will continue to unbind you from that which ails you, some of those things that you don't even know, like me. Sermon got written. God's grace came. Amen.